You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast. I'm solo today. I'm a solo dad. My Rebecca is gone, and she's in Texas for a few days. She comes back later this afternoon. I survived, which you should all applaud about that, because thank you. It was a rough go. I survived. It was, you know, but I'm going to be happy when she gets back. I'll be less forgetful, maybe. But I'm so happy that you're here. You survived the cold this week. Right? I don't know what it is about cold weather environments, but the people that live there, we love to talk about it, don't we? Like, we love to talk about the cold. Now, I've always lived in cold weather climates most of my life, and I often wonder, do other people, like, talk about the weather as much as we do? I don't know if they do. Like, I feel like we're always sort of surprised by it, too. Oh, it's getting cold. Like, you believe how cold it is? Like, it happens every year to us. Like, we go through this all the time. It's so cold. Now, I know today we actually have some Biola University students listening, and they're in LA. And I'm guessing that you do not talk about the weather like we do, because it's always nice all the time. But here, we talk about it. We live through it. I know this week was super cold. I even took a picture I wanted to share with you. If we can. So that is a picture our Lake Michigan, early morning. It was almost spooky, eerie looking. I'm going over the Hone Bridge, and there's like this sea mist coming up, and then there's this massive, I don't even know, there's probably a term for it that I just don't know, but at first I'm like, did mountains grow in our lake? Like, it overwhelmed me. And then I thought, no, it's a tsunami. There is a massive wave coming up. It really gives this illusion of like, chaos is happening out there. And then you got this ship that is getting ready to sail into the abyss of the cloud cover or whatever. Does anybody know what that's actually called? Is there a weather term? What is it? A freighter? No, not the ship. The cloud in the background. Is there a...
The water is colder than the air, vice versa. It's a cloud.
Okay, it's a cloud. Yeah, all right, that works. It's a cloud. So I found this fascinating, and I'm going to refer back to this picture again, because we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're doing a series about the Holy Spirit, and the Bible uses a metaphor to talk about what the Holy Spirit is a lot, okay? And it uses a metaphor that talks about the Holy Spirit as water, as breath, and as a dove. And today we're going to talk about water. Next week, we're going to talk about the breath, and then I think Rebecca's going to talk about the dove, okay? But today, we're focusing on water. And what I want to do is I want to look at Scripture to see how the Spirit does four things: how the Spirit is with the Father, how the Spirit is with the Son, how the Spirit fills us and goes through us. So what I want to do first is I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. First page of the Bible, right? The first two sentences of the Bible. It says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering. The second sentence of the Bible, we have the introduction to the Spirit. There is creation, transformation when the Spirit is involved. They are co-creating. The Spirit and God right now are co-creating. The Father is partnering with the Spirit, who is hovering over what some people would say is chaos. Chaos meaning the water right now. See, the Eastern world, they would have understood this imagery as water, as chaos. Like, there is chaos that came out. In the Eastern way of thinking, it was an unknown. There was monsters of the deep. There was gods of the sea that were unknown and unexplainable. So in their idea, the water would have been chaos, absolute chaos in the waters, and they would be fearful of it. There was the image of chaos when it came to water, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the chaotic waters. And the Spirit is hovering, and he's waiting. And when God gives the order, the Spirit touches the water and creates order out of the chaos. Creates order out of the chaos. Creates life. The Holy Spirit doesn't just create order, but gives life. So the Holy Spirit is described as a metaphor of water in the Psalms, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Job, in the book of John. And in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel has this vision about water. And I want to read this text again. It's a little lengthy, but I think it's worth it. So Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12, we're going to look at. So you can look at the screen, you can check out your phone, or you can just kind of close your eyes and imagine it if you'd like, okay? This is a vision that Ezekiel had about the temple, okay? It says this. Then he brought me back to the door of the house. The house is the temple. And I saw water flowing from under the doorway towards the east. For the house looked towards the east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out through the north gate and led me around on the outside of the east gate. And I saw water coming from the south side. Going towards the east, the man numbered 500 long steps. And he led me through the water, which covered my feet. He numbered another 500 long steps and led me through the water, which came up to my knees. He numbered another 500 long steps and led me through the water. This time, it came above my leg. Again, he numbered 500 long steps, and it was a river that I could not walk through. The water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, and no one could cross it. He said to me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he brought me back to the side of the river. As I returned, I saw that there were very many trees on both sides of the river. He said to me, "These waters go out towards the east country and down to Arabah becomes clean again. Every living thing that gathers where the river goes will live. There will be very many fish, because these waters go there and make the salt water clean. So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside it. They will have places to spread their nets from Ingdi to Ingolim. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its wet places and pools will not be good for animal life. They will be left for salt. All kinds of fruit trees will grow on both sides of the river. Their leaves will not dry up, and they will never stop giving fruit. They will give fruit every month because their waters flow from the holy place. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." So in this text, the water flows from the temple. Starts off as a trickle. It flows from the temple, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And it brings life. It brings life. It brings transformational life. It flows into the Dead Sea where nothing can live. The mineral content is so high that nothing can live there. It is dead. And this river runs through it and makes it clean so that there can be many, many fish there, that there can be fruit trees that live there. It brings life. It brings life. In the vision that Ezekiel had, there's actually two invitations that sort of that are mentioned in there. One is this invitation to come, right? He's asking you to come. He's walking along 500 steps, 500 steps, 500 steps, ankle, then to the knee, then to the leg, then to the hip. Then all of a sudden, you got to swim through this. There wasn't, hey, just observe this river from the side, from your temple. See it trickle down and get some binoculars out and look from afar. No, it was an invitation to come and see. And then there's also this invitation to become part of the current that changes the world, to wade in the waters. Now, I want to come back to this. This is important to think about. So sort of put this on the side of your head or departmentalize it somehow, because we're going to refer to it in a second. Because now we're going to talk about the Spirit and the Son, right? The Spirit and the Son. See, Jesus actually turns to Ezekiel's vision, and he turns it into actually a living invitation, okay? Living invitation. Jesus is going to the Feast of the Tabernacle, okay? The Feast of the Tabernacle, it's a week-long festival where Jews would go to Jerusalem, and they would camp out for a week. They would actually make tents, and they would stay in there. And the tent was to symbolize the tabernacle, right? And they actually still do this today. If you go into any Jewish community, you'll see them putting up tents outside during this week, and the families would live in the tent, and they're celebrating this festival. And it usually happens in the fall. And Jesus is attending the festival, and every day, all the people would go to the temple, and the priests would fill these huge cisterns down by the spring, and they would carry them all the way up to the temple, and they would pour them out onto the steps of the temple, and they would sort of try to recreate this vision that Ezekiel had, and the nation would come together, and they would pray, and on the seventh day, they would fill these cisterns. Seven times they would do this, and they would constantly be flowing that water down so that it would almost create like this pretty hefty stream coming from the temple. And on the seventh day, it would be the most reverent and still day. It is quiet. It is holy. People are exhausted. People are waiting to see if God is going to fulfill this prophecy. And in John verse 7, chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, he says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Now remember, people, 7 days, exhausted, tired, it's quiet, there's a holy moment. And Jesus stands and says, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, river of living water will flow from within them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the quiet and stillness? Whoever is thirsty can come to me and drink. Waters will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Upon to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. What you're waiting for in the temple, you can get right here, Jesus is saying. You can get it right here. I have, this is out of order, Adrian, I know, but there's a picture of Ben in a river. And so that's my little guy, Ben, who's homesick today. But he has this natural gravity towards anything that's water. It doesn't matter whether it's freezing outside or if we tell him, don't go in this part of the lake because there's lots of bacteria. No, he don't care. He just goes right in. And we're like, we got to shower him off after real quick. And it doesn't matter. And I remember in this particular, picture, we took the youth group to this river, and there was, we were told that there was like this slick rock that kind of goes down. So it almost acts like a big slide on the river. And we thought, well, we go check it out, you know, kind of deal. And of course, most of the teens were actually like, I'm not doing that. And so I went first as the good parent. I got to try it out, make sure it's safe, you know. And I go and I do the river thing. And the first person to do it next is Ben. Like, he's like all in. He's like all in. Whenever we see water, he is all in. He is jumping in. And isn't that what Jesus is saying? Like, if you are thirsty, like, here it is. Here it is. Jump in. I'm here. I'm here. And sometimes I wish I had that enthusiasm that Ben does, where he just goes for it, right? The water, the invitation is there. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I'm going in. I'm not thinking twice, right? I wish I had that sometimes, but sometimes I don't. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not familiar with this water, you know? it might look a little scary. I don't know. It's a little dark over there. You know, is that a fin like shark over there? I don't know. But there is some of that, right? It's a little scary. Like, what is the Holy Spirit going to do? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, here's the deal. The Spirit actually, one, invites us gently. There's a gentleness to it. If you look at the Ezekiel vision, there's a step. First, my feet were wet. Then went to my knees, then my legs, then my hips. And then eventually, I don't have to go full throttle. The Spirit's also gentle, too. And the Spirit then fills us. He fills us. The disciples, again, they were actually at another Jewish festival. And we pick up in Acts 2, verse 17 and then 33. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And then 33 says, exalt to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. There's an invitation. There's an invitation to become and to become the Spirit through us. It's a living story. Do you see it? Are you watching from the banks, or have you taken steps in? The invitation is participation. If you don't participate in Christianity, it's just a worldview. It's just a worldview. It's a worldview that'll help you maybe get through the day sometime. It might give you a people group. It might give you some good guidance, some wisdom. But a worldview doesn't heal you. A worldview does not meet you when you are in your depths of depression. It's not going to get you out. A philosophy doesn't help you get through the struggles of not being able to conceive a child. A worldview does not help your brokenhearted, your broken marriage, your broken relationships. It doesn't. A philosophy is not going to help you get out of your pain, not going to help you get out of addiction, not going to help you get out of the anguish that you feel. The Holy Spirit, see, is a healing waters. It's a worldview can't do that. But the Spirit can. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says this, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? So that means the Holy Spirit is in you. You are the temples of God. You are those tents, right? You are celebrating that. You are the temple. The temple in Ezekiel's vision had the water flowing out. When you step in with the Holy Spirit, it is not only in you, but it also is flowing out of you. You become part of the healing story of the world. The healing story of the world. That's awesome. That makes me want to jump in, right? That makes me want to jump in. That makes me want to be part of what God is doing. Because here's what Jesus did. Jesus took our brokenness and he made it well, he healed it. And the Holy Spirit then comes into our brokenness and uses it to heal the rest of the world. We become part of that current, of that river that flows to the world. So here's what I want to do. I want us to stand. And I'm not going to have the band come up just yet, but everyone just stand for a second. And I just want to get quiet for a second and just let the Holy Spirit come. And we're just going to take a few minutes. And what I want you to do is that just pay attention, like what you may feel, sense, what images may be popping in your head or words, or maybe what the Holy Spirit may be saying and doing in this space. So Holy Spirit, just come. Living water, just come. move in this place. Move in this place. Move in us. I get a sense that some of you are just really receiving right now, and I just encourage you to keep doing that. A few of you are just really receiving the Holy Spirit right now. I had two things I wanted to share, and one is I really felt like when in this talk even that there's some of you who are on the banks of things, the idea of maybe you've been even raised in the church, but the whole idea of participating with the Holy Spirit is sort of a new concept, and you've been watching from the banks of the river, trying to observe, read books, figure it out, but not ever taking even putting a toe in the river. And I feel like today is an invitation for you to participate, an invitation to say, hey, I would love to figure out what it means to actually really engage in real time with the Holy Spirit. And if that's touching you, like I would love for you to receive prayer today. And we just invite God to do that, real simply. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come and meet you where you are. The other picture I got is actually of someone swimming in a pool, just a regular pool, and kind of going nowhere and almost bored. Swimming, going nowhere, bored, and there's an invitation for you to swim in the ocean. And the ocean is where life is, where there's unknown, where there's sort of this adventure, but you're kind of bound up by fear. You're also very afraid of what that may be. I'm comfortable. I know what the pool is. I can see everything underwater in a pool, and I can't in the ocean. And I feel like there's this invitation for you to swim with the Holy Spirit in the ocean and kind of explore what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through you. So if that's you, I would love for you to get prayer as well. So as the worship team comes up, I just want to, here's how we do ministry time here, is we will have, and I may have need some help today because we have some of our prayer team out. If you're part of the prayer team, we hang, Adrian's back there. I think Talita's going to head back. I'll head back there too. If you want to get prayer, we'll be back here. We kind of go into this other room too, right over here, and just pray. The other thing is that for some of you, you may have a word for the room, and if you have a word to share, please like talk to us, talk to myself or Joanna, and we can share that if you don't want to share that, but if you want to share a word that you have for the room that you think is appropriate for the whole room, but step into what the Holy Spirit's doing. Let's continue to invite the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit's doing and step into that and engage him in worship. And take our time. We take our time here, okay? All right, let's worship.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.